This morning, I would like to speak on the subject of rejection. People who have been rejected, situation in which we all have been caught and have suffered. It's a very painful thing, but God always has the answers. The subject of rejection can be found quite readily in the scriptures. I will read just a few, but it does happen. God gives His answers. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to begin with in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. I'm going to begin with the easy-to-read version, wherein the Lord told Samuel, "Do what the people tell you. They have not rejected you. They have rejected me. They don't want me to be their king." You know, I don't think in my life I've ever heard words that bring me more sorrow than those words. It makes me want to just ask the Holy Spirit to never let me get to that place where I would reject Him from ruling over my life and learn to yield to the reign of Christ and His Holy Spirit over my life. Rejection is a bitter pain. And to think that we as humans cause that to God and cause His heart to be wounded with this bitter and nasty, this horrible attitude, is just unthinkable. Again, in 1 Samuel chapter 10 now, verse 18, He told the Israelis, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I brought Israel up out of Egypt and rescued you from the power of Egypt and from the power of all the kingdoms that were oppressing you." Verse 19, "But today, oh, what words, you have rejected your God, who delivers you from all of your troubles and difficulties. You are the ones that have said no. Instead, we will appoint a king over us." Those are very hurtful attitudes, and they bring a lot of pain to the heart of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, I will read in the ISV translation, "The Lord told Samuel, 'How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn now with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse from Bethlehem, because I've chosen for myself one of his sons to be king.'" Now, in reference to these verses, although God did not reject Saul as a person, I found that He did reject him from being king over His people. God had a better choice of someone who would obey and yield to His influence and His kingship in his life and over His own people, and wouldn't try to stand in the way of God and remove Him out of the way. The people belong to God, not to Saul. Yet Saul felt rejected from God, and that is why we see all these attitudes of hatred and murder in his heart. It was just festering in there all those years. It is such a shame. Listen to what God told Samuel with the first son of Jesse. In verse 7, the Lord told Samuel, "Don't look at his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Truly God does not see what man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord sees the heart. You know, there was an instance with Esau where Esau rejected God in the sense of not caring for the precious gift of the firstborn and the inheritance of blessing that comes from God. And in a moment of weakness, he was willing to just give it all away. And in doing so, he wasn't able to overcome that weakness of hurting the heart of God. And so it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17 says, for ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place, no opportunity to repent, though he sought for it carefully. Other translation says, begged with tears. And you know, it's not only the heart of God that we reject, or that so many do. The very Son of God that came down and became flesh and dwelt among us was also bitterly rejected. In fact, the prophet Isaiah in his 53rd chapter and 3rd verse very clearly states about Jesus that he was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Later on, when Jesus came, he says this about himself to his disciples in Luke chapter 9, verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer a great deal and be rejected. He must be rejected by the elders, by the high priests, and by the scribes. Then he must be killed. But on the third day, he will be raised. You know, the Bible records so many instances of people who suffered rejection by one circumstance or another. And there is a great deal of emotional and soul pain and suffering associated with it. Some people wrestle with this their entire life. But I believe God has answers. I believe that there is a God perspective to all of this. And although this does happen, although this pain, as acute as it is, does take place in our lives, God has answers for us. So I'd like to just open my heart and just share with you this morning. And although much of what I share would have come out of my own experience, I am not going to tell about those in a personal way. It's just the things that I've learned during these 76 years of life that have given me the wisdom to be able to share with others and be able to overcome in this situation. One of the verses that has been a blessing to me comes out of the Passion Translation and is also found in Hebrews chapter 12, but it's the first verse. And the writer to the Hebrews says, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. We must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and with determination, for the path has been already marked out for us. And then the next verse, the next two verses actually, speak of Jesus and the things he went through and for us to take courage, knowing that He that went before us overcame, and His same Spirit in us will help us overcome as well. There are very few lives that have been able to go very long without experiencing rejection in some form or another from diverse sources. If you have never experienced rejection, you're very fortunate. You're fortunate because you've never experienced the biting and cruel pain that goes with it. A pain so strong that it can remain and continue for decades, eroding away at your life, eroding away at your quality of life, debilitating you, and always bringing you back to the same pain, to relive it over and over. I just feel the Holy Spirit wants to set the record straight on rejection. And I think He more than anybody would know about it, because He was in Christ, a man who was rejected. He came to His own and His own received Him not. He wasn't just rejected by one person, He was rejected by a whole nation of people. He was rejected by those who He and His Father, before coming to the earth, had anointed and had called and separated a tribe for the unique function of ministering to Him as high priests. It was a very honorable position. God had anointed them priests. When He came to earth, the same one who had anointed them to serve God and worship God and officiate His forgiveness to His people rejected Him. They didn't just reject Him because they didn't want Him. They continually persecuted Him, seeking how they could kill Him, and finally found the way in which they could rid themselves of Him. That is the ultimate rejection, ridding yourself of someone. That's what rejection is. So there is no one that understands rejection more than a person that has been rejected. Especially one who has been rejected multiple times by multiple people, and also especially someone who's been rejected by a loved one or preferred one or a friend or a spouse or someone close, someone who you have made special in your life, like He made Israel. Israel, of all the people that inhabited the earth, was God's special people. He separated them unto Himself. They were family. He showed virtue and grace, blessing upon that nation that no other nation had, similar to what He has done for the United States, who also is rejecting Him. He's a man experienced in the sorrow of rejection, and it is a very haunting and biting pain. Let me say this, And you might find some statements that come out of my mouth today as something hard to understand or perhaps hard to believe. But rejection is only a one-time action, per occasion, of course. With that action comes a pain. But anyone who's had rejection is going to understand what I'm about to say. That the pain of what happened when somebody rejects you continues to happen all the time. When I say all the time, maybe I should say most of the time or continually once in a while throughout life. In other words, it continues. It's not just a one-time deal. Why do I say that it was just a one-time deal? Why do I say it's just a one-time action? Someone did. When we can perceive that pain and relive that moment over and over and over and over, what that person did to us. You know, we cannot heal over a situation like this. We have no, how can I say, ability or power to heal that one-time offense or that one-time rejection, whether it was newly born or whether it was later on in childhood or whether it was along the way from a father, a mother, a sibling, a friend, a spouse, whatever. It is a very intense pain, and we have no power to heal from that one-time thing that somebody did to us. So am I saying that there is no healing for rejection? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there's no healing. We have no power to heal from what that person did to us, because what that person did to us, they did to us, with the emphasis on did, past. It's past. It's gone. It's finished. It has no power to continue bringing this pain to me that I am feeling still to this day. Why is it then that I still feel that pain and still relive that moment and think that is that person that is doing that to me that is still producing that pain in me, whatever they did in time, and I relive the pain over and over and over and over? That person did it once. They didn't do it over and over and over. Yes, I lived that pain when they did it, but then it's over with. But why is it that rejection isn't over with? It continues on and on and on. Let me give you an example. I'm sure all of us have had something very painful that's happened in our life as far as our body is concerned. Maybe a cut that we've had or something. And we felt the pain that came from that, the throbbing pain that came from that, or whatever the case might be. But then it what? Healed. Sometimes now we have to look back, we have to look very closely to see where that scar is, and maybe we might be able to remember the pain, but we're not living that pain anymore. Because it was a one-time deal. And we healed from it. So why is rejection different? Why is rejection a one-time deal, but then the pain continues throughout lifetime? And it's so painful that it changes the way our character and our personality, it forms, it reshapes our personality and character. And it's a haunting thing that doesn't go away. It's just like that person is still alive, is still doing that, but that person only did it once. That cut only happened once. That blade didn't keep cutting, it didn't keep cutting, and didn't keep cutting. So where's the problem? If I don't have the power or the ability to overcome or to do anything with what that person did to me, does that mean that there is no healing for this? Absolutely not. What's the part that we're missing in this? What is the part that so many of us miss in this saga of rejection that brings so much pain in a human life? I'll tell you what it is.
We have failed to see the difference between an actual rejection, listen to this, and a spirit of rejection. The actual rejection produced a pain and it's gone. What I have lived from that day forward is a spirit from hell called rejection. He will take that knife that one time cut me and cut me over and over and over and over and over in my mind and spirit and make me feel that pain, and it's his pain he puts on me. All along, he's pointing a finger to the person that 30 years ago did that to me, blaming them for the pain I now feel. The pain I now feel has nothing to do with the pain that was given to me when it actually happened, because that is a one-time deal and it's over with. I can forgive or not forgive. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in this sense that the pain that comes from that first action, I can handle. I can handle somebody rejecting me and going to God, getting healed, and saying that's a one-time deal. From now on, I'm going to be smarter. I'm not going to commit myself to them because I know what's in their heart and I know what they're going to do to me. That's exactly what Jesus said. They're looking to see where they can catch me in my words to reject me. I know that they're going to stone me if they could in any moment here over anything I say. They're already waiting. They are just one rejection mob out here. So I'm not going to give them the opportunity. And so although Jesus loved people, he loved Israel, he didn't trust himself to them. In other words, he didn't allow what they did to influence his life at all. But let me say this. Have you ever noticed that rejection makes you have an attitude toward somebody? Why did Jesus not have an attitude toward Israel and still be willing to die for them? Because Jesus knew the difference between rejection, an actual action of rejection from somebody, and a spirit of rejection that fouls the waters up and that makes you continue to hurt and fester and infect the wound and keep it infected the rest of your life and keep you suffering and keep you messed up emotionally the rest of your life. But here's the good news. The bad news is that we have no power or ability to overcome or to heal the actual first action of rejection that somebody did to us, however many times that happened. But we do have power over a spirit of rejection. And in the name of Jesus, we can rebuke that spirit to no longer operate on me and to leave me alone, because the pain that I'm feeling isn't what that person did to me. Yes, the original pain I felt did. But that was long gone. I'd have to remember that. And even if I remembered it, they couldn't do that to me because they're not actually here to do that. So the pain that I still experience is demonic. The pain that I'm experiencing is a demon called rejection. And he puts it on us and puts a face of whoever has had the opportunity in your life to reject you or me. He'll put that face on, but he has the ability to make you continue feeling pain. Hideous thing, really. And we have the total ability in the name of Jesus to cast it out. I can't cast the person out, but then they're not the ones bothered. They're not the ones doing me damage. What's doing me damage is this spirit that I've allowed to operate in my life. So when the lights go on and I realize what the true deliverance from rejection is, and if I don't want to feel that pain any longer, I don't have to. I just have to realize this is a demonic spirit operating in my life. It's got to go. You know, anything we have a weakness to, the devil will keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. There's deliverance for rejection, total deliverance, but not until we realize what we need to be delivered from. We don't need to be delivered from the original person that did that, or from the original circumstance that took place. and we don't need to pass it on to somebody else. And if any circumstance looks a little bit like what that person did to me, well, we got a war on our hands right now because I'm trying to fight that thing off. But while I'm trying to fight off whatever somebody else looks like they might be doing that could reject me, and I'm fighting them because I don't want to feel that pain anymore, I still continue to feel that pain regardless, because there is a spirit of rejection operating in my life that I've allowed in there. And when the light of the Holy Spirit shows me what the truth is, the truth sets me free. You shall know the truth shall set you free. The truth is that person that rejected you, hurt you at one time, but you're over that hurt. It's no longer hurting you. But what has continued hurting you is a spirit of rejection that you can get rid of. And we don't need to feel that from a spouse, from a friend, from a sibling, from an unknown person or whoever, a preacher or a church or whatever. Doesn't matter. They did their thing, but we healed from it. But we don't see that we've been healed because a spirit of rejection jumped in right away and said, oh, this thing really hurt this guy. And I hate him anyway because they're a Christian. So let me take this hurt that they experienced that really, really got to them and let me give it to them as many times as they're not paying attention. Let me let them relive. I'll relive in their mind the circumstance that happened with that person. I'll put their face on it and I'll make them feel that pain. And immediately, you're back 30 years ago, reliving that pain. Now, we spend half our lifetime saying, I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them, Lord. I free them. I bless them. But I still have that pain every time it visits me. And you say, how many times do you need to forgive somebody before you actually feel like it's gone? Okay. How do we get rid of this thing? Well, you don't get rid of this thing that way. You don't bless a devil. You don't forgive a devil. You get rid of a devil. You get rid of devils. That's what you do. Jesus said, cast out devils. He gave us the anointed authority to cast out devils. Doesn't have to be out of somebody else. It can be out of yourself too. Cast the thing out. The only person that won't is a person that's already visited by another spirit called self-pity. Self-pity is an interesting spirit from hell because that spirit is, I think the word is masochistic. It's like it enjoys the pain. And so it wants the pain. It wants to have something to blame the pain on. And so that way they can have people feel sorry for them. They can have God feel sorry for them. And it's a subtle way of control. But basically it's people that beat on themselves. I recognize that masochistic spirit because it will come to you as just like, if you're going through something in life and the devil connects it to some sin or some failure of yours in the past, it's just like, okay, God, I deserve this. You know, it's just like pounding on yourself and hammering on yourself. You know, I did this. No, he said, we come to God. He forgives our sin. End of story. The sin is not there. The failure's not there. He picks us up. He said, if you fall, get up again. And as long as we get up, we haven't fallen. You know, we're only fallen if we stay fallen. And so in rejection, the only reason once people know that it's a spirit of rejection, they can get rid of it, still don't, is because this other spirit that's called a self-pity spirit and hides behind a masochistic style of operation, it masks it so that, okay, I deserve this. You know, maybe I was ugly looking when I was born. In fact, the person they wanted to reject was Noah. If it hadn't been for his grandfather, Enoch, which went to be with the Lord, because he was born totally white as a sheet. You know, albino? Noah was an albino. And his dad was so traumatized by it that he went running to Enoch to tell him everything that had happened to them and what to do with this thing. So Enoch told him that it was a gift of God. He was a special child. He would deliver the world. I mean, the grandfather told him everything special about the child and to guard it and to keep it. It was a special child from God. And so the interesting part about it is that they were going to reject him, and God saved Noah from that rejection syndrome. But people reject people over all kinds of crazy things. It's not what happened. It's that God wants to show us that there's deliverance for someone who feels rejected. The moment we understand that God made us capable of handling rejection as a one-time deal, but he didn't make us capable of overcoming something if we're entertaining devils. We have to get rid of the devils, then you can heal. It's like a virus or a bacteria. Until you get rid of the infection, the body can't heal. You've got to get rid of the infection. When somebody rejected you, there was no infection. The spirit of rejection hadn't come in yet. So you can heal from that. We can heal. We heal right away. It's just a little bit later when this infection starts coming in. Now we've got a problem. It overcomes your immune system. It overcomes your spiritual ability to overcome that situation. And now we have no ability to do anything with that first thing that happened. God put that ability in us to heal from the first things that happened, the first action. We heal fine. But then when infection sets in, now we've got a problem. And the only way we can heal, the only way the body can go into its natural healing is to get rid of the infection first. Then the body will heal. Getting rid of the infection didn't heal you. Getting rid of the infection let you heal. Getting rid of the devil will let you heal from rejection. But if the devil hadn't come in, you'd have been healed from it already and it wouldn't have made a difference to you. Who thought what about you or who did what to you? Who cares? I don't care what they thought of me. Why should I? I am who I am. I don't have all the gifts, but I have mine. I am who I am. God made me. I'm fine with that. If somebody rejects me, that's their problem. I can heal real easy from that. But oh, when infection comes in, when Mr. Rejection comes in and starts fooling around with my self-pity things and starts fooling around inside my soul with a pain that I'm feeling and I wake up in the morning without a thought at all about rejection and suddenly that pain starts going all over the place and it gets more and more intense and then a face shows up and then the circumstance 30 years ago or 50 years ago or 10 years ago shows up, connects the two and now I've got a problem all day long worrying about this thing and fighting with this pain that's inside of me when all I have to do is wake up. And when I see what's happening, say, oh, it's you, Mr. Devil, in the name of Jesus. Get out. I have no place for you. Out you go. Because what happened, happened, and it doesn't matter. It's their problem, not mine. I heal from that. That's it. How many times have we healed from something and a year later it comes back? You notice that? Did that person actually show up in your life and do that again? Did something show up? Yes, something did show up. We have power over that something that showed up. A person did show up, but it wasn't that person. He's so sneaky, so evil, such a liar, such a deceiver, that while he's putting the pain on you, he's putting a face of somebody else on there. That is so terrible. You know, sometimes people reject another person without realizing they're doing it. They didn't even intend that. If you were to talk to them 10 years later, I never intended that. Yeah, what I said could have been meant that way or my actions could have been meant. The reason why I just never saw you again is because I had this, and this problem that I was trying to deal with in my life. And when you understand the problem they were going through, you'll understand why they dropped you as a friend and why they just got off to themselves. And you felt so totally rejected that they didn't want you or whatever. And here we live, and Mr. Devil takes advantage of those things. I so hate his works. I'm glad God gave us the same gift he gave Jesus to destroy the works of the devil. Then throw him out. Why should I live with a pain that doesn't belong to me? It belongs to him. Do you know why he passes it on to God's children specially? He does to everybody because we are the creation of God, but God's people specially. Do you know how he has the pain to even pass on to you? Have you ever thought of that? Where did he get that pain? when he got thrown out of heaven? When being the most beautiful of all the cherubims, the highest in rank above the throne, and then get thrown out with all his cronies to never more be able to be in the status of his original power. He was rejected. If you think you have suffered with pain from rejection, can you imagine? Somebody that's an eternal being, their suffering is eternal. That hurt like a dagger that went into his heart. Right in front of all 2/3 of the other angels that remained loyal to God, he looked like muck. And even if they want to go back, they can't. He relives that pain every day of his existence. And that's why he passes it on to God's creation and God's children. And don't think for a minute that just knowing about this and doing nothing about it is going to set you free. He'll visit you again in another month, another year, whatever. He'll catch you off guard. And he'll put that pain in you and make you squeal as hard as he can make you squeal. When all I got to do is say in the name of Jesus, take your rejection with you that you deserve, and you're not putting it on me. You're out of here. You're trying to put somebody's face on it. You're trying to make me think that what my husband or wife or brother or sister or child just said or did something is rejecting, and you're making me feel that pain. They didn't put that pain on me. You did. That's it. Out. Out you go. The moment we begin to recognize what we're dealing with and deal with it, we are free. We are free. You shall know the truth. Truth makes you free. Do we want to be in the category where rejection that's a one-time deal we have no power over? Or do you want to get into the category of those who understand that we have power over the spirit of rejection and get rid of it? Does that mean somebody else won't reject me in life? Yeah, but I can heal from that real easy as long as it doesn't get infected. As long as that spirit doesn't come along and add his irk and vomit on me. We come to a place in our life where we can't stop somebody from rejecting us again, but with the truth, we can keep it from getting infected. And if it does begin to be infected, we can get rid of it. I don't really know how the devil can put the pain on us that we experienced back then again. Evidently, we store it somewhere in the background. It just doesn't bother us anymore. We're over it. What they did is their loss. You know, I'm a great person. At least God says so. God likes what he made. God made what he likes. And that's me, okay? And nobody's being big-headed here. No one's being funny. It's just that God made this vessel. He liked it. And everything God created, he looked at and he said, I like it. It's good. When God did the same with us, he said, it's good. Okay, so if God said it's good, it's good. So if somebody thought it wasn't so good, that's their problem. All right? And God knew that what he made had flaws in it. And if you're going to pick on the flaws, you're going to pick on God because he left them there. If he didn't want you to come around from two parents that had a problem with weaknesses towards something, then you wouldn't have come. But if you came, then he made allowances to have grace in your life over those weaknesses and work with you and deal with you. If somebody rejects you because of him, and I've had plenty do that for me, that's their problem. I'm not going to inherit their pain. But listen, I'm not sharing this with you on the basis of never having felt this rejection. I am sharing with you today on the basis of the pain of it and the sting. How he does that, I don't know. Maybe we store it somewhere and he digs it out from the storage bin and brings it out again. I don't know how he does it. All I know is that he does it. And I know that throughout the years, God has made me wise to the difference between rejection and the spirit of rejection. I can't deal with rejection, but I don't have to. God put that mechanism of healing in me for rejection. What people did, They get over with. I go to God. He tells me I'm still good. So if you don't like it, that's your problem. I can heal of that. But I cannot heal once it's infected. Once I've entertained that spirit that makes me feel good about suffering and makes me embrace that suffering, and it's like, I deserve that. You're such a poor, sorry guy or gal that you deserve this. Then if you're going to drink it all in and suck on it all day, you're going to have it. He's going to give you as much pain as he possibly can. When I said I don't know how he does it, maybe he takes the pain that he's got, which is pretty big, about the rejection he suffered that he never did get over because he never did heal from it. He still hates God and his people over it. Maybe he takes his pain and puts it on us. Well, let's just stop and analyze that for a second. Who in the world wants the devil putting something of him on us? If that's what he's been doing, he can take it with him. I'm sorry. You know what? You put that pain on me. I'm sorry you have to feel that pain. But hey, you know what? You can also go to God like I do and get it right. If you'll repent and humble yourself, that's when he leaves. Are you getting the picture? I've endured a lot of pain for many years, only to realize it was useless, and it was me, like a masochist, embracing that pain, thinking it was those people that had done so much damage to me, and I was so damaged now that I just can't get over it. That is such a lie from hell. Those people did not damage me. Whatever they did, I was able to get over right away, but then a spirit came in, and I was naive. I just didn't realize that it was a spirit. It's taken years to finally figure out that there was a difference between rejection and a spirit of rejection. I thought it was all one big package because that's how he presents it to us. He presents the picture of the person's face. It's never his picture. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us that it wasn't what that person did that did the damage. The damage is what I allowed the evil spirit from hell of rejection to do for me and in me. And you know what? In the same way we can heal right away from a one action rejection, I can heal once the devil leaves. Once I realize it's him and I get rid of him, I heal right away. It's like that pain never comes back. Doesn't matter if somebody is doing something that looks like it. It's just like, I can heal from this pretty good. I'm not letting you in, devil. I know exactly you're waiting at the door. And if I open it, you're coming right in and making me experience the pain. Next thing I know, I'm angry with a spouse or with a brother, with a sister. Then there's contention in the home. And then there's whatever happening, whether it's a school kid or whether it's your boss at work or whoever. You know, this world is full of all kinds of relationships, right? Could be a granddaughter, a grandson. It could be a grandparent. Who knows? Circumstances abound, but devil's at the door. So the Holy Spirit's just telling us, you can be free. Any moment, the light goes on, and you realize we've been duped. And God has gracious mercy on duped people, because he realized the devil is a master deceiver. And that massive pain that he carries, he wants to put on as many people as he can. I'm not going to hit myself over the head for being duped or being dumb or being ignorant or whatever, naive. I'm just going to thank God that he puts his precious light on the situation and lets me walk toward freedom and be able to tell as many generations as possible that we can be set free very easy. It's a demon and they're easy to get rid of if you don't entertain them. Resist the devil and he will flee. God is the hope of all creation. God made a way. So keep Satan at the door, but if he does make it in, throw him out. That's the way to do it. Spirit of rejection, I'm on to you. And in the name that's above all names, including yours, get out. Out. Completely out. Take your pain with you. I don't need to entertain it. I don't need to feel it. I don't need to have it. I don't need it ruining my life anymore. And I know I can be set free. The moment the words leave my mouth, you've got to go, because he gave us the power and the authority to cast out devils. Amen.